We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have undrafted rookie free agent D'Angelo Amos stops by the podcast to talk about his journey to the NFL. We also talk about the rookie minicamp, OTAs, and how the current coaching staff is right now on episode 183 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 183 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm, Pierre. How you boys doing tonight?
Woo!
I'm doing great. I know Malcolm's doing great because the Knicks won last night. So I know Malcolm's like on cloud
nine
right now.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
That might have been the ugliest basketball game I've ever watched. Playoff basketball game I've ever seen in my life. Both teams are trying to lose at the end of the game.
Did you see the fourth quarter, though?
I did watch. That's like the only time I watched was the end of that fourth quarter.
That's when we came clutch, man. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
I will say your Knicks, fans baby. Are very passionate. And numbers.
Oh, man.
You guys got a Trey Young's Baldwin chant was amazing.
So. Yes, it was. I loved it.
Yeah.
But we got us a very special guest joining us today. New Detroit Lions undrafted free agent safety D'Angelo Amos. How you doing, my man?
Yeah,
you know, we were just talking about basketball. Are you into the NBA at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Basketball is really my first love growing up. So,
who's your team?
If you watch, yeah.
Oh no, I never had a team. No, I just had favorite players. Just like Russ, like his passion, like how he plays, his energy. Always love that. John Wall, his grit. Definitely LeBron, because he's just his IQ of the game is insane. Because he's like he knows when to like decoy himself, and I feel like that's very hard for somebody in his position to know when to be the decoy and let everybody else, you know, kind of gather the points and stuff. So players like that.
Is LeBron the GOAT?
Come on, man.
Come
on, bro. Why would you ask that, man?
I feel like that's a question that people can't really answer. You can never really answer that because that's of all time. And if you put LeBron back there, back when Michael Jordan played, and you had like the Dirty Pistons and how physical they are. Like, of course, I feel like LeBron would have to adapt, but the game that how he plays now, you just put him in that time, like in a time capsule and put him back there. LeBron, I don't think he can handle that because that's not what he's used to. He's not to that type of physical play. And if you put Michael Jordan in this, everybody's athletic, everybody's bigger, bigs are shooting threes. And, you know, yeah, I just think it's different times, different ways the game is played now that you can't really say who would have been the greatest of all time.
That's a good answer. You almost lost me when you were going to go and say LeBron was going to adapt, but then you gave me a good answer. So.
Yeah, that was a really good answer. Let me ask you real quick. If you were to play basketball, what position would you play?
Point guard.
Point guard? Yeah. All right. Okay. What kind of point guard would you be? Would you be like a dish guy, or would you just be like a Westbrook and just do it all, or?
I'm definitely more of a dish guy. Just lead, you know, get everybody in the right place, get the offense rolling. Just be that general on the court. That's definitely what I was a lot of times. And then being a shooter, you know, being able to shoot the ball too.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now going back to the football side, which, you know, we actually originally got here for, but we got basketball. Right. play out basketball. But, you know, how was rookie minicamp for you, and like how has OTAs been going on for you so far?
It's been good. Just learning from these coaches. There's a big jump from, you know, to college the NFL as far as just the little tidbits that give you that little bit of advantage over the offense, or the tidbits that'll give an offensive player advantage over the defense, you know. And it's not so much the playbook, you know, because that's just football's football. The ISO plays the ISO, you know, cover four is cover four, but it's just the terminology and learning that part. But they give you a lot of cues, a lot of techniques and little nuggets of information that really improves your game more than learning the playbook.
So, you know, compared to rookie minicamp, where it's obviously a bunch of rookies, some UDFAs like yourself, and comparing to like the OTAs the last 3 days, how much more different is it with the veterans in Allen Park now?
It definitely turns up like a lot. The energy is higher. You don't have a lot of guys that's, you know, fresh, learning, like they're just running around, just trying to make sure they don't make mistakes. So a lot of professionalism comes in, knowing how to practicing smart but fast. Just how they come in, you know, come into work every day. You just watch them and see how they move around and how they operate, and then you just kind of fall in line, and it shows you how to be a professional.
So obviously you didn't get drafted, but as an undrafted free agent, like I'm sure other teams were interested, why did you choose Detroit? Did they like offer you something, or do you think it was the best chance for you? Like, why Detroit?
Ultimately, I just felt the most love talking to Coach Pleasant, Coach Phipp, even Coach Duker, you know, just talking to those guys. There was just love there. I talked to them I talked to a scout, a Detroit Lions scout, and Texas, couldn't think of it, but in Texas for the College Gridiron Showcase. So we've kind of been in touch ever since then. So just that consistency. It would have been great. It was like ideal to play with somebody that's from my area. Jalen Elliott came last year. So he's from the Richmond area. We played against each other, football, basketball, and all that stuff. So to be around a couple guys that's, you know, from my area, and then also they're coming in with a new staff, so, you know, it's kind of like new beginnings there. So it was probably the best chance to, you know, make a team and really make an impact.
What was your first impression of the coaching staff so far? How similar or how different is it from your time at Virginia?
I would say it's actually very similar. You know, they come in with a standard, but they're also understanding of the players. I think that's one thing Coach Mendenhall at UVA, Coach Howell, and all those guys, they understood the players. They tried to really have that relationship where it was, you know, some give and take. It's not just, hey, we're, you know what I'm saying, we're authority figures, we're coaches, we're going to tell you what you're going to do. And that's very similar with Coach Campbell, DC, Coach AG, just a lot of them, they're just there for you, you know, to help you along, especially as a rookie. They know, like, right now it's pretty hectic. You're learning, you're trying to, you're still wrapping your mind that, you know, you're here, you're in the NFL for right now, but you got a lot to do and you want to impress, you don't want to make any mistakes. So it's very similar in that sense, you know, just taking care of you, wants you to, you know, be your best, put your best foot forward, and not set you up for failure.
So you were here, obviously you played at James Madison before Virginia, so comparing that all together, is there a big jump going from James Madison, is that Division II, if I'm not mistaken? So
no,
division.
It's Division One. D1? It's my fault.
Okay, so yeah, so non-power five school going into Virginia, you know, what's that like adjustment?
The guys are just bigger, honestly. The talent level, you know, everybody's talented. Especially playing D1 ball, everybody has talents. You have fast guys, you have strong guys, but it's just guys are just bigger, and some of them more times than not in power five, especially, they have a better understanding of the game. You know, that IQ rises a little bit. So it's not like at James Madison where, well, at least at James Madison, we were a powerhouse school. So a lot of us knew had a high IQ. You know, Coach Trott taught as well when we first got there with my class. So with that difference, as far as JMU in particular, just that campus, the IQ wasn't a big deal. But when you play against other teams and they're just running plays, they're not really being too instinctive, that changes. Like, the instincts in the Power Five are insane. You're wondering, how did he know, or what made him do that? And their instincts are just crazy.
And I know, obviously, a very small sample size just within practice, but you probably see even a bigger jump in the NFL so far.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Tight ends are faster. You're thinking, like, all right, they're slow. They're tight ends. That's what you grow up thinking your whole life. And then, like, no, they're just as fast. They're just bigger.
Yep.
And then you see, like, big asses like Darren Fells, who's, like, essentially another offensive lineman.
Right, yeah, it's like, all right, I think you're playing the wrong position. You know, so it's just little things like that. But, like I said, all the guys are still, you know, they're cool. Like I said, you're just a guy just like me and you. So it's fun. Like I said, they're there to help you as well, too. So sure. They've been through there.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So, obviously, this is the first stint as Aaron Glenn as a defensive coordinator. He comes on from New Orleans. Aubrey Pleasant, this is his first year in Detroit as the DB's coach. How have they been so far for you?
Oh, they've been great. They teach you. He's got Coach AG is definitely going to is going to coach you hard. But at the same time, he's going to make sure that you understand what he, you know, what he wants, what he's trying to do. They're always trying to put you in a position, you know, to help the team, but also to make plays. So, if you just, you know, listen, they have a lot of wisdom coming from different systems, but AG, you know, playing in the league for, I know, 10-plus years. I don't know the exact number, but, you know, him playing for 10-plus years. AP, Coach Pleasant, not so much that playing in the league that long, but just his understanding of the game and how he coached those guys at the Rams, they were great. So it's great to have that wisdom and that teaching, that coaching. Obviously, I wish I would have had that earlier, but in college, but it's great to have it now and learn a lot.
So obviously, like I mentioned, this is Aaron Glenn's first stint as a defensive coordinator, and like, it's just very unknown as Lions fans of like, what kind of defensive schemes are we running this year? Like, what have you kind of seen front wise? Is this more of a 3-4, 4-3? Like, what type of fronts are we looking at so far?
It's really a mix of everything. Like, it's time, like, especially coming into me now, learning the playbook. Like, I'm like, all right, what are we in?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? At first day or two, you're like, I don't understand any of this. Sometimes I'm thinking, like, all right, we got, like, 5 guys on the line, but we really don't. Like, like they'll drop or you have 3. It's so chaotic. And we have Coach Dugu came from the Ravens, and you know how their defensive scheme was. They could put 7 guys on the line, 9.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's driving, who's going. So it's a mix of everything. Like I said, you have 3 coaches from 3 different teams, which is very rare in the league. Normally, you get a DC who brings over a couple coaches that he already worked with and stuff, but they come with all different languages, all different schemes and ideas. So you really don't know or have any idea like what we're doing or what we're in. Sometimes I'm watching film and I'm like, all right, wait, I thought we were playing this, but you know, without the game calling up, I try to just study that way. Like, all right, if I should be able to see what we're doing and understand what coverage we're in, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I need the name tags right now. I'm not that into the playbook as far as knowing it like the back of my hand to that point yet. So it's crazy. So but he definitely has a great thing going. Like I say, he puts everybody in position to make plays. You know, he definitely has set the standard to turn this Lions defense around.
For sure.
That's all I like to hear.
Yeah, man, it's exciting. All right, so why did you choose number 43? Was it given to you? Is there a reason for it?
Oh, it was just given to me. But okay. It's actually crazy because my brother is 2 years older than me. When he left out of ECU, he went to the Giants. His first number in the NFL was 43.
Okay.
Oh, so
okay. Oh, okay. That's a little sneak peek.
How that just played out by coincidence, but we both ended up with our first number as far as a rookie as 43. So
do you like that number, or is this something that if you made the 53, you're switching immediately?
I'm just grateful to be in the league. So to me, I would take it. I would, if it was 49, as much as I really don't like that number, but like, I would take it. Like, I'm in the league, you know, I'm living the dream. And at the end of the day, what I've always been taught is that the number doesn't make you, you make the number. So
that is all right. All
right, I know you just said that, but don't tell me that 54 and Lee McNeil is not ugly as hell.
I mean, he's a beast.
He's a beast, but he's that number like, 54 needs to
like
change.
He looks nice. I like that number.
Yeah, as athletic and as freak of an athlete as he is, he can make that number work. Like, like watching him, I played against him at UVA. We played against him. He had an interception for a touchdown. He had a pick six against us. And then I played against him when JMU played NC State at NC State. So I've seen him a couple of times, and already I'm like, yeah, that's just him. He's going to rock it. He's gonna make it look good. He's a freak athlete. So you just see somebody like that, they're going to make that number work.
I got you. Because you were 29 in college, too. Yeah, so, like, yeah. So
29, I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit off, but I mean, for whatever reasons. And obviously, they just doubled that number. Like, they just doubled that number and gave him 54. So, you know, maybe there's something behind that's why they gave him 54. But, you know, I think they have some strategy going on between doubling his number and my number being the same as my brother. So they obviously doing some research.
Yeah. Definitely was a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence.
They got something going on. I'm gonna figure
out. Coach Flip mentioned that you are competing as a returner. How's that been going so far?
It's been good. A lot of guys are talented. Khalif, Raymond, Vic Bowden's back there. Amon Ross St. Brown. He's very fast. It's been great. You learn a lot. Everybody kind of, you know, has a different feel for how they catch the ball. Some people like to split their feet. Some people go 1 foot forward, 1 foot back. You know, it's a little bit different. Everybody kind of has their own thing. I'm the only defensive guy. So it's something that I've gotten used to. At JMU and UVA, I was always the only defensive guy. And a lot of vets like, and even Coach AG, he's like, you can catch punts. You look kind of natural back there. I'm like, yeah, I've done it a few times before in college, but – it's been fun though. We try to find different ways to, you know, make it challenging, whether it's putting the numbers while the ball's in the air and making us reading it, or trying to catch everything one handed. Like, it's just, you just do anything to make it hard. So when it's time to, you know, do it in the game or do it in practice, that we're all clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah. So when I was watching your film, I saw that like you had two punt returns in a quarter in a game. You remember that, James Madison?
Yeah, Villanova. I think that was 2018.
Yeah.
So nice. That was crazy.
So, you know, right, obviously you're a safety. The safety room is, I mean, it's relatively pretty young. I believe the oldest guy in that room is Tracy Walker. Yeah. Yep. So very, you know, it's only his third year in the league. Or fourth year, sorry. So it's his fourth year in the league. You know, who is some veterans you've been kind of leaning on? You know, obviously you mentioned returner Khalif Raymond's back there. He's been in the league, played for Tennessee. So, you know, who's some veterans you've been leaning on so far?
When it comes to punt returning, definitely Khalif Raymond. He was, like I said, with the Titans, and Rashard Davis came to JMU. He was with the Titans too. So that's how we kind of made that connection, just working there with the safeties, because Jalen Elliott joined us during rookie mini camp. So, you know, he's just coming in hungry, putting in work. So he, I really was leaning his way, you know what I'm saying? Especially he's a guy from Richmond. So just, it was easier to, you know, migrate that way. But him, Tracy, definitely Tracy, and Will Harris, just a guy that's, you know, they're all trying to embrace you, trying to help, give you a few pointers. So it's really been those guys, those main three, Will, Tracy and Jalen, and then a couple times Dean too. He's from JMU too, so he was actually the first guy I hit up once I realized, you know, I was going to the Lions. So those guys really are the guys that I've been trying to reach out to and help figure the, you know, this whole professional thing out
for sure.
All right. So what's the best advice I've ever received, and who was it from?
I would say, as far as on the coaching staff or like with the Lions or just
in general. It could be outside the Lions.
It could be anything.
High school, anything. Parents.
I would say it was from my brother. Even though he's my brother, like that's literally, if I had to say I had a best friend, he's definitely that best friend. But he just told me one time, we were just talking, he was just saying to me, the best advice was that even though you want to work hard all the time, because that's something that I do, I will get caught up in whatever I'm training for, whatever I want, whatever goal, and I won't enjoy the moment. So his thing was just enjoy the moment, you know, have fun. When you make a play, like let that passion flow. Don't just think, all right, you got to make another one because you're trying to be this great or you're trying to make it to the league. So embracing the moments, but at the same time, when you wake up every morning, think about the person you want to be. Think about who you want to be, how you want to be seen. And when it's all said and done, what do you want to give back to the world? And if at the end of that day, when you go to bed, you haven't made steps in that direction, then you wasted that day. So don't waste any days.
Good. Yeah, that's good advice. All right. So you mentioned several times in this podcast that you had a brother. he wore the same number as you rookie year. So this is throw the question out there. Are you related? Is your brother Adrian Amos?
No.
No.
He's not my brother.
Are you related?
Are you related?
That's something we have yet to figure out. My brother Deshaun is the one that I get the information from. He did training camp this past year or last year with the Packers. So there they were the Smash Brothers because they seen the last name and everything. And they actually had their numbers, I think 41 and 43 or something like that, 41 and 42. So I think now I'm thinking the league does stuff on purpose, but they definitely. You know, everybody was asking that question, especially when he was going there. And then when I got here, everybody was asking the same question. Is your brother Adrian? Don't your brother play for the Packers? I'm like, no.
Wrong guy.
But we have yet to figure that out. Like, we're still going down that line to figure out if there's any connection at all. Because I remember people asking me when he was at Penn State. So we've been trying to figure this out for years now, actually. So
okay.
We just haven't found, you know, the right line down the ancestry line that connects us, but we're going to figure it out eventually.
Yeah. My last name is Hart, so I'm kind of hoping somewhere down the line, Kevin Hart, if he hears this.
Maybe.
I'm a little bit taller than him, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah. He's a short one. Not too many people that's real short.
I don't have any short people in my family like that, so I don't know.
Yeah, you might have to go on Ancestry.com or something. I don't know. You got to figure it out.
I was like a Mike Curry. I mean, he was a running back. Didn't you play running back?
Mike,
cornerback in high school?
I played corner in high school.
Okay. Yeah. He was a running back. So.
Yeah, he was a running back. He's a little bit lighter. He's way lighter than me, so I don't know. Maybe.
Like I said, everybody has some family we don't know about.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, guys, that is going to be a wrap to this episode with D'Angelo Amos. Hope you guys all enjoy. D'Angelo, thank you again for hopping on with us. And before, you know, we hop off, we were talking about basketball. So this is the craziest NBA playoffs I think I've ever seen. Anything could happen this year, in my opinion. So who's going to win the championship this year?
Oh, man.
You could say Dallas.
I'm going to have to go with
Luka.
Yeah, I got
Ooh!
Easy. Luka. He's so good right now. I don't see him really letting that happen two times in a row. But yeah, it's between them and the Jazz for me.
Okay.
What about on the other side? The East.
They're all over the place.
you can say the Knicks, you know. I'm here. I'm right here.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. Cut his mic. Mic off.
Are they going to get past the first round?
They have a good run, but
it's all right. It's okay.
Have all the pieces as far as experience and everything in those situations. Julius Randle, obviously, is a great player, but just all around, I don't think they, you know, I don't think it's there. But from the East, I would
Brooklyn.
He's gonna backstab and go the other side. He's gonna go the other side.
Oh, okay.
It's not Brooklyn.
I gotta go with Ben Simmons and
Sixers.
Embiid. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with them. They're just rolling. Embiid's just a different beast. Simmons is playing good ball right now, so I think the Sixers. It would have to be the Sixers. Or if the Knicks was to sneak in there, I could see the Knicks, but that's not gonna be my favorite.
Okay. All right.
Hey, but D'Angelo, you're in Detroit now, so this all doesn't matter. You're a Pistons fan now, anyway, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm a Detroit Lion, so yeah. That's football. Basketball, like I said, I don't have any. I've never had a team, but if somebody was to ask me Detroit, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for coming on. Yep, and like best of luck this season.
I appreciate it.
Good luck, man.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate it. And we're signing out, guys. Peace.
Peace. All right.